Welcome to the FaceTime with God podcast. I'm your host, Kay Farrar, and yes, you have tuned in to the right place because we're bringing Christ to the culture and the culture to Christ. Because the gospel's not for old times, it's for all times. So we've got relevant topics, real people, and we're starting right now. Welcome to another edition of FaceTime with God podcast. I'm so excited. We have been on a roll, and we're even more on the roll because we have two of our faves. We actually have one of our illustrious team members, Quessy Harvin, and her awesome son, Benjamin Harvin. And so this is going to be an awesome discussion today. We're going to get into some good things. But before we go, before we dive deep, I think we're going to hit some of my favorite subjects that I'm looking here on my little rapid response. And so each of you have a chalkboard and a marker. And we're just going to do a little bit of rapid response. And don't look at each other's answers, but we just want to see how closely mom and son align on a few things, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to call it out, and you can write your answer and just leave space. We're probably going to do maybe four, maybe four or five. We'll see. But it won't fill up your whole board. All right. So the first rapid response, we're going to ask, all of these are dealing with your favorites, different types of favorites that you might have, okay? So I'm going to start with kind of one of my favorite categories, which is tell us, tell the audience on your chalkboard, what is your favorite dessert? Favorite dessert. Now don't,
so I'll open mine or his?
Yours.
Okay.
Yeah, your favorite dessert. And we're just going to see how closely your faves align. All right. So, and let's see, we could do all of them, or we can do them one by one. Maybe we'll do them one by one. All right, Mom, what's your favorite dessert?
Brownie.
Brownie? All right, let's see. How about yours?
Oreos.
Oreos. Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of close. So, boom, some dark chocolate goodness in there. All right, so that's similar. Okay. I guess, lately, now that I've been being good, this is in one of my favorites, too. But, all right, tell me your favorite, either, it could be either one, fruit or vegetable. Favorite fruit or vegetable. Then it's like, who said I had a favorite fruit or vegetable?
I got like a whole lot of our favorite vegetables.
Oh, good.
I can name some of his, too.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. All right, so we're going to, let me see, Ben is still writing. Favorite fruit or vegetable? What is it?
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Oh, I was going to say cabbage for you.
I mean, yeah, cabbage, but sometimes potatoes because of like french fries, and I do like baked potato.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. How about you, Mom?
Pomegranates.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That is a fave. How do you actually eat a pomegranate, a real one? I mean, you know.
There's a whole way you do it to where you just hit it on the back and the seeds fall out.
And you eat the seeds. You just kind of like chew them and then you spit
You can do either way. They are where you can eat them completely.
Oh, really?
Or you can just spit that, you know.
Really, the little part.
Yeah.
Wow.
A little tedious. It's almost like nature's sunflower seed, but in the sweet version.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it sweet about like a grape or is it sweeter?
Is it like a sweet, tangy? Have you ever had one?
I feel like I have, but it's probably been so long ago. I think somebody in my family had one, grandparent or something.
And winter is when they're in season.
Okay.
Not the summer. People would think fruit would be in season for summer. Winter, yeah.
Maybe you and I have to, you have to teach me that one day. All right. Here's another one. Okay. Your favorite sport. Favorite sport. And it can be which, you know, to play, to watch, either one. But what is your favorite sport? All right, Mom, we'll let you go first this time. What's your favorite sport?
I was about to say shopping.
Uh-huh.
But I put football.
You put football.
I put football.
You put football? Yeah. Okay. All right. Ben, let me see. What did you write? Okay, you still working on it? Okay.
I'm not gonna look. I'm gonna be surprised.
Yeah. It's that game where like you would like chase people that's starting to become popular, starting to become a
sport. Yes.
Really?
It was like American tag.
Yeah, American tag. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
It is a whole sport.
Wow. Yeah. That is so unique. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. All right. Last one. Okay. Favorite vacation spot. Where would you like to go, or where do you like to go on vacation? All right, this time, you know, we trusted you guys last time. This time, I want you to turn your boys around so I can actually see it. I probably should have had you turn them the whole way, but favorite vacation spot that you've been to or that you want to go to. All right, Ben, how about you?
Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm. All right, let me see your board.
Yeah.
I knew it would be. Is it because of Lego?
Gotcha. World?
Yeah.
All right, how about yours?
Puerto Rico. It's very light.
I see.
Puerto Rico.
Oh, you're getting ready. How we count down the days?
Yes.
April, okay. Awesome. That is right around the corner. Yeah. All right, good. So I'm trying to see. So very different. You guys didn't overlap.
But still hot.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So similar.
Awesome. All right. I enjoyed that. That helped us learn a little bit more about you all. Yeah. So, you know, in a light way. So get us into this topic. What would you like to share about your relationship with your son? I don't know if you want to start now, you want to go back to, you know, when you were carrying him. There's so much, you know, as mothers always have so many places you can start, but I'll leave it up to you. But to just kind of introduce us to Quessy and Benjamin and the journey that you guys have been on.
Benjamin is my firstborn. Amazing. I had an amazing pregnancy with him.
Okay.
I felt, you know, some women who get pregnant, they're like always sick and they don't feel right. I wasn't sick at all.
Wow.
I felt glowy. Wow. My hair was growing amazing.
Wow.
It was just an amazing pregnancy, but delivery was not amazing.
Hmm.
He was 42 weeks.
Okay.
So they had to go get him. They had to induce me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when I got induced, and every time that I would have a contraction, his heart rate would severely go down.
Wow.
Severely go down. To the point, now, when you actually give me the medicine to induce me, you cannot stop labor unless they give you another medicine to force stop your body from going into labor.
Okay,
and that's what they had to give me. A medicine that would force stop my labor. And so I was having a physical, you know, I was shaking, having a physical
reaction. I can imagine because they gave you something to go into labor.
Yes.
Then because it got complicated, now they were trying to reverse it. And I'm sure your body was like, wait a minute, what is going on? And probably the baby was like, what is going on? So.
Yeah. So, okay, let me start. What they found out was that the cord was wrapped around his neck. So what they had to do was actually break my water and then send an electrode to go to the top of his head to get an accurate reading for his oxygen. So they saw, as far as his heart rate.
Okay.
I don't say oxygen because when the water breaks.
Okay.
So they saw that, it was official that the cord was wrapped around his neck. So what they had to do was with the table, they had to turn it upside down. So then my feet were sitting up because he was in a position to be birthed. So that means head down. And so I had to be on the table and I had to put my feet up and my head down towards the floor so that he could rest in my womb on his feet.
Wow.
So every time I would have a contraction, it wouldn't strangle him.
And how Could they tell? Did they do an ultrasound?
The first thing is that they put this belt on you.
Okay.
To monitor the baby's heart rate.
Okay.
And so they could see that he was going into distress every time my body.
Okay.
And he couldn't stop.
They could just figure it out.
Yeah.
By his vitals.
Correct.
Because they couldn't scope it or see or anything at that point.
Correct.
Wow. It was so awesome that they caught that. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Because had they not caught that, that would not have gone well at all.
Delivering him, it could have meant killing him.
Mm, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Wow. So in this, so that was the first miracle.
It was the first
miracle. That was the first miracle.
Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he knows the story because he wants, you know, they want to know about when they were born and how that went. And
okay, so after that, after you got through that ordeal, and I'm sure after they elevated, you know, your feet, then what?
They were hoping that the cord would naturally do through
fetal
movement that he could find a way to bring the cord off, and it didn't happen.
Okay, so then,
and so the medicine they gave me could only stop labor for a short while.
Okay.
You can't just
undilate. Yeah,
So at that time, my body was convulsing, and I just remember I had an amazing nurse, and I was just trying to reassure everybody in the room. I was like, I'm not in pain, even though my body was convulsing. I was just telling them.
So you were concerned about the room.
Oh, yeah, because my body was violently
shaking.
Yeah. Because of first you give medicine to push you in and then to stop.
That's what I'm saying. I could see your body is
and
like.
My family was there.
Not cool. Yeah.
And I could see the distress on their face. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember saying, I'm not in pain. I know what my body is doing. I know what it looks like, but I'm not in pain.
That just is amazing to me that you were going through all that, but you're thinking about everybody else. Is really what I was saying. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So how did that all work out? I know it was the Lord, but what did they have to? I guess at that point they couldn't do a C-section.
They couldn't do any of that.
Okay.
So what they did was give me instructions. They let me know we're going to get his head out.
Okay.
And you're going to have to stop pushing.
Interesting.
Just so that we can unwrap the cord from his neck.
Okay.
And it's going to have to be very quick.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to have to be strategic in pushing.
Oh, wow.
And I've never pushed at all.
Okay.
Never pushed at all.
Because
He's
your firstborn.
My firstborn.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't tear. You know how some women kind of tear and it takes a long time?
Oh.
I had to just.
Wow. Okay, so they it was a timing thing. Just had to quickly get it off of his neck.
So we had to wait until the medicine, because it was a short window of time, and that medicine would stop labor. So we had to wait until that was completely run its course. Then I had to work with contractions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to wait until it built all the way up to it was very, very strong. So that meant my body was
pushing out enough.
Right. Uh-huh. It was having the contraction, and then I could physically manually push also at the same time.
Wow.
So we waited until.
Oh, goodness. That was a lot. How long was that process of labor for you?
It wasn't long. I would say about 5 minutes once we reached optimal.
Yeah, but I'm saying from the time you went in there until the time you pushed
him out. I remember giving birth to him at 12. Mm-hmm. P.M.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember arriving around 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's an ordeal. Right. So it was an ordeal for you and probably a little trauma to the baby.
Yeah.
So that had impacts on him?
At first.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
We didn't see that. He had jaundice.
Okay.
Which just means a little bit of yellowing.
Uh-huh.
And so they kept him under the lamp.
Okay.
And you come in to nurse.
Aww.
And then we have to send them back to, you know, the lamp. And when we took them home, they said, sit them under the window a little bit, get a little sun. And that would just, you know, help the jaundice come down.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there was reflexes, all of his responses, beautiful, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But then, so I understand. So we know fast forwarding, we know that he had a diagnosis.
Correct.
Okay. when did signs come around that maybe there was
regression?
Okay.
So there's a thing called regression. So there's a normal development that he was having.
Okay.
And then I noticed regression happening.
Okay.
I would say regression, and I'm gonna put a disclaimer because I'm not saying that it's proven, medically proven.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say after certain vaccinations,
wow, I did notice really?
A regression.
Wow. Yeah. Do you remember which ones?
I don't. I want to say around 18 months. So whatever shots you would think around 18 months okay. is when I really noticed the regression happening.
So meaning like he set up fine, but then he started having trouble sitting up? Or what were the signs that you saw?
Saying words.
Uh-huh.
There were some words that he was saying. You could see that he would be forming some words.
Uh-huh.
Walking, just different things. It was just normal progression. Mm-hmm. And then the language progression stopped.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of frustration, a lot of sensitivity, it seemed, to lights, okay. Sounds. Yeah, I was like, there's something going on here that wasn't normal. And then he would start to line things up. And any type of language that he did have, it seemed like just echolalia. There's something called echolalia,
wow.
where he's not knowing what he's saying, but almost just like a slogan, kind of repeating that.
Okay.
One of the things that he did when he saw shehe.com, he was shehe.com me.
That is kind of catchy, though, isn't it? I don't blame you on that one, Benjamin.
I can't ask for your drink, but you will shehe.com.
Okay. Yeah, this one was kind of, a little bit funny to me.
Uh-huh.
Or O'Reilly's.
These commercials.
Happen,
these jingles, I tell you.
Yes.
Wow. So after that, you took him in.
I took him in.
To be checked.
Yeah.
And so the doc, nobody alerted you. You alerted them.
No. And then even like old school, people giving us advice. Because
okay.
it would look like temper tantrums.
Okay.
The screaming, the crying, going into stores,
mm-hmm.
Having a meltdown.
Okay. And what age was this?
This was around one and a half.
Okay.
Two.
Wow. So you were really paying attention to your child. Because
I imagine. Mother's instinct.
Okay.
I think it is. When other people were giving me advice, especially I think more in our community,
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh, you need to pop.
Uh-huh.
And put, the fear of you in them and don't
yeah.
let them kind of, And I was like, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something behind the scenes in my spirit that was
mm-hmm.
like, this is more than just defiance.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't defiance. This is something that's setting him off.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have the language for it, but there was something that was, I just felt spanking him at to when it's just not gonna fix what's in my child. He's in moments there were glimpses that I could see his eyes, and it was almost like, I need help.
Wow, isn't that something?
And I trust you, and
uh-huh.
I need help.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So what did you do at that point?
I took him, and at that time I was in Richmond,
mm-hmm.
and so I took him to the school system, and that's when they did a lot of testing.
Wow, at two. I did not know that's something you could take the child.
Yes.
And so you just called your local school, or?
Correct. I called my
wow.
local school, and then they have certain schools and certain teams that actually do the intake and eval. And so there were a lot of different tests that he had to go through, fine motor skills, the ball thing, going back and
okay.
forth to see if he
There's
could catch it.
There's something about the ball, because it just seems so. Mom, I was like, how can you tell something from that? But you really could.
To hand-eye coordination.
Okay.
And not having that.
Mm-hmm.
Or having certain blocks and what to do with it. Playing with toys in a way that they shouldn't be played with.
Okay.
So a normal car, you would race it around the track. It's sort of a innate type of thing. The kids know, they see the cars on the street, and they know how to play with it. But then a child who is not developing and making those connections wouldn't play with the car normally that way.
Gotcha. All right, so you took them to the school. They did some assessments, like you were talking about. And what did they tell you?
They told me that it seems like autism, but they cannot give official diagnosis. So I had to go to someone called a developmental pediatrician.
Okay.
I took all of my documentations from the school system. I had my own interview from what I'm seeing and what I'm noticing. She did a couple of tests, and at that time, she gave me an official diagnosis of autism.
And what is autism? Because we hear that a lot.
Autism is a spectrum.
Okay, and I hear that. We hear spectrum, and spectrum is, you know, a multitude of things in a range.
Yes.
Huh.
So it's a bunch of different requirements, but you have to meet at least 10 on the list. So it's a huge list of different things, and you have to meet at least 10. Okay. So it really isn't easy to meet 10 of those requirements.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can meet 10 or more. And Benjamin was showing those.
Okay.
Those signs.
All right. And so this was still around 2 when you found all of that out?
Correct.
Okay. So now what? What
That's
did
a
you,
good question.
You feel? I mean, what did that do to you to hear that?
It was low-key denial.
Okay.
I wish I could say that I just went into intervention and I got him the best help. I didn't do that. I was like, oh, I'm going to just, you know, pray and believe. And so the way I did, I set up the home to what he needed because he would have fits. He didn't know how to speak for what he wanted. So when I would see his, you know, drink going down, instead of him throwing a temper tantrum because he didn't know how to speak, and say, I need some more drink, I would go and refill his drink. And do things and just make the atmosphere perfect for him in the house so that he would be calm and collected. And that's the way I navigated until we got into where he could go to school.
Okay.
And no school system and no teacher is going to have the perfect setup.
Yeah, that's true.
For a child.
That is true. That is true.
And we're not going to have the lights dimmed all the time. And we're going to have bells. And we're going to put demands on you. And that's when everything just spiraled out of control.
Okay.
Yeah, we're actually the first time that wheels actually fell off the train.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us a little bit. What are your memories of first going to school and how it was for you?
My memories of first going to school were, I still remember the days of kindergarten, and I still remember, I think, the way my room looked like in kindergarten. It was, I think, like a reading section where I would read like ABC books, and a section where we could just play with toys in our room, and then probably be like a circle area, like a circle Tom area. And then there would be like one of the more old school, like looking like boards.
Okay.
Like I think it was Epson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So did you remember liking school when you first went?
I had a whole lot of mess ups and a whole lot of hard times during school.
Okay.
One being that I wasn't really good at like probably like agreeing with teachers and what they told me to do probably.
Okay.
Or sometimes if I wasn't like if I was upset with them, I would try to like, I think it was a little bit of cruelty on my side. I would try to like do a whole lot of disrespect myself when I didn't agree with them.
Gotcha. Like, so you knew what you were doing, and you might have been frustrated or what have you, and so you would act out type of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of a normal response when you're frustrated, but you don't know how to get your answer, and you don't know how to ask for the help you need, and you're kind of like, I'm just mad type of thing. So how were the teachers in helping you navigate all of that, both of you? I mean, was it
His helpful. First teacher, who was pre-K, she was well versed with autism.
Okay.
And that's because she had a child who was on spectrum herself.
Okay.
I have to say, the early years teachers were not really equipped. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's part of their schooling. I think that's something extra that they would have to add on as far as training.
Okay.
And not every teacher is getting. I think now is more awareness. But when he was there, we're talking about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The climate really has changed a lot because I think more and more students on the spectrum are coming into the school system and it's being diagnosed at a higher rate also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is odd for me. And it's kind of interesting. You mentioned the possibility of, you know, like the, inoculations and things having possibly something to do with it. I just feel like something in our environment is either something's going on with the food. Just because, you know, my parents and grandparents, and I understand people say, well, they had it, but they just didn't know. But I just feel like something has changed over the years to get us in this spot.
It's interesting that you say that because I've gone to a lot of autism support groups.
Okay.
And what I've noticed through our conversations with moms, mm-hmm. one thing that I have noticed that wow. seems to be continued oh. is that I got my first flu vaccination being pregnant.
Huh.
That I got my first flu vaccine with Benjamin because they scared me so bad.
Huh.
Being a first-time mom,
uh-huh.
and they said, you can't take medicine.
Uh-huh.
There's so many women who've been hospitalized because of this flu close to death. And it was like, it was my first challenge of being a mom.
Mm.
Don't you care about your child
mm.
and your child's life? And I felt like I got bullied into taking
wow.
the flu shot because it was now, here, somebody's life is in your hand. Right, and you're right, not, okay, right. for you, you decided. But now this innocent life is in you and you're not going to take the flu vaccination.
Mm.
So I took it. And I have to, almost every single mom that I've talked to now, this has not been published anywhere.
Right,
this
right.
is personally yeah. through my experience yeah. in my group.
Mm-hmm.
First time the mom getting a flu vaccination wow. while pregnant.
While pregnant. Interesting. Yeah, I believe there are some factors that there has to be.
I do.
But the thing is, the best part of this whole story is Benjamin today.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. And what would you, how would you describe Benjamin today? I'm going to ask Benjamin to describe, maybe give us some words. But if you were to describe Benjamin today, what three words would you use to describe him?
I would say resilient. Honest.
Yeah.
And I would say a guy's guy.
Wow.
Yeah, and also a little bit of curiosity. Yeah, I'm still trying to find out my way around the world and all that stuff and
yeah.
other stuff too, like probably like machines or mm-hmm. technology and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No, knowing that I had some past with unscrewing stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He unscrewed a whole full size bunk bed.
Oh.
And TVs in the house. But that's when he was younger.
He did the bunk bed and did you say and the TV?
Mm-hmm.
He yeah. took the TV apart.
I remember just walking around the house and saying, where are these screws coming from? I pick one up, put it away. I'm glad my child didn't find it. And just going about my day until just one day it collapsed. And I said, where have you been hiding tools?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the engineer mindset. So I understand, do you want to do something in engineering?
I'm thinking, yes, engineering, but in driving engineering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, in going from, and I know we're kind of fast forwarding a little bit, but in going from the early diagnosis and then having to work with the teachers, and then I know because you shared it with me, but tell our listening audience and our viewing audience a little bit about Benjamin's success in school today, or Benjamin, whoever wants to answer it. If you want to share, or mom want to share, or you
I'll
guys can share together.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
So when Benjamin was in elementary school, early elementary school, I was told these few things. I was told, it seems like Benjamin is heading to a point where he would just be in a classroom with padded walls.
Really?
And there will be no academic progression, if any. That it would just be for his safety. That there would be teachers in that room. I was told that.
Wow. And this was by a trained professional that assesses kids with autism.
Correct.
And then what
that gives you a sign about how severe.
Yeah. And this was around the 2 year when
this was. This was second grade.
Second grade. Okay.
This was second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also told.
So that's about 6 or 7?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. 6, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then I was also told that in the 7th grade, which he's in the 7th grade year now,
mm-hmm.
that it will no longer be rote memory, which is just like memorization of the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that there would be abstract thinking, and that's when you would see the decline, severe decline between him and his other children, because then it's no longer a circle, it's a sphere,
mm-hmm.
and then how his brain wouldn't be able to see things more of a 3D way. It would have to be more like 1D, and that's the way that he would think.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to tell him your grade in 7th grade?
Yeah. My grades are doing absolutely amazing.
Oh, man.
All A's.
All A's for the whole year.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
I mean for the
whole year. Oh my, look, I feel like I just want to throw something. You know how they be like, oh, that's just like, it's over. I got to pick myself back up. Oh my gosh. That is so the opposite of what they were saying.
Perfect.
All A's in a mainstream school environment.
Correct.
With other kids who are possibly, probably the majority of them were never diagnosed with being, you know, having autism.
Correct.
And you're making straight A's.
Yeah.
And I also heard, you know, you were student of the year.
Yes.
For the whole school.
My old school, Greenwood, that's where I started 3rd grade and 4th grade and 5th grade. And then I moved on to Hunger Creek Middle School. And yeah, I'm trying to keep a A-plus or a normal A streak on my 7th grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in 5th grade, during his graduation, I didn't know about this.
Me neither.
We didn't know about this. During graduation, everybody's in there, and they said, we're going to announce student of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just happy he was graduating. I was so grateful. I was giving God the glory that he was graduating. And when they were describing this young man who had made such amazing strides, and I'm listening,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking it all in, and they said Benjamin Harden, and I couldn't help but to scream, and I boo-hooed.
Yeah, for me, I honestly did not know that it was going to be me, because there could be so many other boys in my class, but except me, because this has never happened before, like in my life. And when I was, like, surprised to, like, no, because I was like, oh, am I going to, like, get up? You know, but, yeah.
Yeah. And now his name is forever in the hallways of his old elementary school for that year of being student of the year.
And that's his old elementary school.
Correct.
I would love to get a picture of that just to have.
Okay.
So we'll have to see if we can.
I have it. I'm going to send it.
Okay, awesome, awesome. I should have known mom
would have it. Oh, yeah, I have that.
I should have known mom would have that picture. Wow, this, you know, the thing, Benjamin is a cool guy. He is actually really cool. I love his sense of humor. He's so self-assured, and his reasoning and his thinking and how he analyzes stuff and just responds. It's just awesome. I feel like he needs to be maybe a teacher, a trainer or something, you know, helping the other students his age, because I think he's very mature and wise. For his age, that's what I see. So I'm in awe of you. I'm a fan. If you get a fan club, let me know. All right.
I would love to get a fan club just about me and a little bit about Jesus and God.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. I know this old school, but I got to get a high five on that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't know that there's too much else to say after that, but I'll leave mom and son, final word, whatever you want to share.
Um, I'm really proud of you, Benjamin.
Thank you, Mama.
I am. Benjamin has, one thing I was thinking about when I was coming here that I thank the Holy Spirit for giving me wisdom to do as his mom, even though there were a lot of limitations that they told me that he had, I never treated him limited. I've always treated him the way I expected any child to be. And Benjamin continued to rise to the expectation. And I just kept on putting up, and he rose up to it. And so there is no limitation. There is no bar for Benjamin. The sky is truly the limit, or wherever you want it to stop. That is the limit. Everything that I've, as a parent, as a mom, whether you know or not, certain stresses, certain things that I've put on you, you've risen to it. So when you go out into this world, there is nothing that is going to stop you unless you want it to. If you say that's your cat, that is your cat, because the world has said, this is Benjamin's cat. He cannot do, he will not go further. He will not, it is impossible for him to, and you have superseded all of those things. So I hope you know how amazing you are.
Yeah, thank you, Mom.
You're very welcome.
Oh, wow. That is so sweet, isn't it? All right. Well, that is a wrap. And I just could not be more thankful. Thank you guys for gracing our studio with your presence. And we'll be hearing more from you guys, I'm sure. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.